You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow with Greg Davies, Greg the Digger Davies, Chief Trader at Kratos Capital. And this podcast is proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Greg, it's quite a sad day for the South African economy and quite a difficult day for the Reserve Bank, quite a difficult day for Cyril Ramaphosa and his team, because the GDP number that came out earlier today was truly, truly terrible.
It really was. We called the show the 5 o'clock shadow, and you can feel a shadow of a slowing economy coming over me. I'm one of those people, it's a good thing or a bad thing, but when the market's in a bad way, I feel physically, I feel it in my body. And you, I think you're very similar. We can always sense when some bad news is on its way. But this took us a little bit by surprise. How bad that GDP figure came out, hot past 11. It just turned the whole market on its head. We'll go through the stocks later, but just changed everyone's outlook. And I mean, oh, there's some very, very silly ideas coming out and how we're going to address this issue. But let's wait and see.
Okay, let's have a look at the SENS announcements before we get into the individual moves and the implications of this GDP number, which was, as I said, truly, truly terrible. Cromeco, I gave you a list of things, I think it was on Friday, five companies, and this was the only one you knew about. The other four, the previous ones like Imbali, Beauty, etc., you didn't know. They've come out with their results following up that trading statement from Friday. What did the company do apart from absolutely nothing from what I can see?
You know, it's one of the more interesting SENS announcements, especially with regarding results. Because if I'm reading this correctly, and I mean, there was a little huddle here around the screen.
Yeah.
But it's more or less saying shareholders are hereby advised that the provisional results presented have been reviewed by the company's auditors. They're more or less saying you have to pop in at the offices and have a read through the results.
Oh yeah, here we go. Let me just read the exact statement. Shareholders are hereby advised that the provisional results as presented have been reviewed by the company's auditors. A copy of this reviewed report on the provisional condensed consolidated financial statements is available for inspection at the company's I mean, you've got to be really very, very keen. I mean, what about the website, though? Surely they've got a website with them published, even if they don't want to put them on SENS, which I thought was a requirement, by the way.
I thought so, because someone ran in here and said to me, get them on the phone and ask them, is this for real? Has there been a misunderstanding? Yeah. But somebody went on the website, and I think it's obviously they've left it out of the SENS announcement. But yeah, I'm just looking at the advisors. That's PSG Capital. So I should have mentioned, you know, these guys are real professionals. I'm sure they'll have something up on Cromeco's website.
Yes, indeed. RCL Foods trading statement came out at 14:34 this afternoon, Greg. This is one that's in either the positive or the negative column to the tune of anything between 2 and 5% almost every day. What did it say?
Yes, it looks like earnings will be at least 20% lower compared to the similar period. Mm. So the share price coming down 1.5%. Not particularly huge volume going through, and I think that's why it often is on those up or downs. Wide doubles, best buyer 13.70, cheaper seller 13.99, and that's where the last trade took place. So that's down 1.5%, but it's just 80,000 shares, just over R1 million with the shares trading hands. So it's not the sort of high-frequency trading stock that it was back in the day. Still a huge company, medium-sized company, $13 billion market cap.
Not bad. The expected decline in headline earnings per share, which you quite rightly said should be around 20%, is largely attributable to the performance of the sugar and chicken business units, Greg. Sugar business performance is expected to be significantly down. Chicken business units performance is also expected to be significantly down. Grocery brands have continued to perform strongly, though. Of course, they made that acquisition a while ago, and that in anticipation, of course, of sugar and chicken perhaps having a tough time, particularly the chicken business. And they've diversified their portfolio well. You can say that for them.
Remember that? It reminds me of that TV show which they had on the BBC years ago called Ready, Steady, Cook.
Oh, yeah, I used to like that.
Where you had to find a few ingredients. I can't think of anything I'd make with chicken and sugar, though. But
it's a slightly obscure reference, Greg, but what they did on Ready, Steady, Cook was they would give you a bunch of ingredients and you didn't know anything about it, and then you had to go off and knock something up. Yeah, I don't know what I would have done. I would have just blended it all together, put some stock in and say, there you go, there's some soup.
Yes, but as we're saying, it was a blend, and it wasn't that long ago that they moved into sugar away from chicken, so they didn't have, you know, just the one source of, you know, income, really. So it just speaks to a troubled spaces all around the food sector in South Africa. I mean, we've had Tiger Brands, we've had quite a few of them struggling, and it's you know, these are well-run businesses. It's just reflective of what we were saying with the GDP number. People just aren't spending at the moment.
Here's one for you. African Phoenix. Go for it.
Yeah, that's interesting because we were talking about I thought I had it. But effectively, those are the old insurance assets of African Bank, which we spoke about the other day.
Oh, yeah. AXL, Greg. I'll help you out there. It's AXL.
There it is. The share closing at 59 cents. It's been around this price. It's been between sort of 55 and 65. It feels like forever. Results coming out today. The share not unmoved, really. Trading loss at 59 cents. It was quite a sort of well-respected investor, Anthony Ball. He's got a fund that he's running. And I have been noticing his name pop up on that shareholder list from time to time. So he's been accumulating stock. But I think he's obviously playing the long game.
It says here that earnings per share were 1 cent, and that was first half of 2018. They were the earnings were 1.4 cents. Full year 2018, 3.2 cents they earned. Total equity 1.9 billion. African Phoenix Investment Limited, or Phoenix, or the company, or the group, is an investment holding company. The shares of Phoenix are listed on the JSE, et cetera, et cetera. The company owns 100% of the Standard General Insurance Company, StanGen, which is the company's only trading subsidiary. It also owns 100% of Gilt Edge Investments, which does nothing. So why do they put it there? I don't know. It's dormant. But they own a dormant company as well, just in case. Well, there's been no changes in the status of the company's investment in Residual Debt Services, formerly African Bank Limited, which is still under curatorship, nor in Ellerines Holdings Limited, which is in business rescue. Bad luck.
Yeah.
Both investments
are working. Yeah. They got the African part right, but the Phoenix, that may be all yet to see.
Yeah, that's an optimistic name for a company that's clearly not rising from the ashes. Anything else on the SENS announcement, Greg? Oh, Consolidated Infrastructure Group. They gave us an update on the results, and then the results came out this afternoon, didn't they? I think they did.
Yes, so quite sort of subdued results, but they had warned us in the trading update. So the share down 3.8%, 1.25 rand, now sitting at a market cap of 502 million rand. It's probably going to need some more capital at one point. Had some big projects which it undertook in Angola, which I don't think it's been paid for. So in a difficult space. Used to be an analyst's favorite in the small cap space for some time, but fallen out of favor since then.
At least they're honest. They don't say satisfactory results given the challenging conditions. They say CIG reports disappointing results for the 6 months to the end of February. Group revenue decreased by nearly 9% to 1.3 billion. From 1.3 billion to $1.2 billion. Loss after tax for the group is reported at 1.2 billion. I mean, with the market
cap. It's quite
cap,
big. If you take
the market cap into. You'll tell me what the market cap is now, Greg, but they've lost 1.2 billion.
Yeah, so it's 500 million market caps. They've lost more than their entire market
twice
cap.
Twice as much as that.
Oh. Yeah. So, you know, you do see these type of things happening. I remember Ellie's at one stage. The debt was double the market cap, probably worse at this point.
Tough macroeconomic environment is blamed, with pressure on most of the group's operations, especially in engineering, procurement and construction. We'll just look at the GDP figures, and I can sympathise with them, because there's nothing going on in any of those areas. No new orders, etc. And there has been a group recapitalisation. Greg, let's go down to the more disturbing thing of GDP, down 3.2%, the highest Bloomberg analysts surveyed, or rather the worst forecast for GDP, I'll spit this out in a moment, was 2.2%, and it came in, crikey, 50% more than that. Incredible stuff.
I was talking to an analyst who spends a lot of time looking at this kind of data, and he said, let's look at over a two-year period. And the last time we had a patch this bad was 1985, 1986, and I think you were probably still in the UK, but they had this thing called the Rubicon, where the, I think the president at the time was P.W. Buerta.
He was.
And he came out and he was going to make a speech where we were going to cross the Rubicon, we were going to solve our political problems. But then he, at the last minute, did a U-turn. I do remember being in the Pullman bar having a beer that night. But that in that 2 years, where the economy contracted a similar amount as two, and then again, the most recent time it happened was 92, 93, and obviously that was when the political negotiations were going for the first independent election. And before that, to get this bad, you would have to go back to the, you know, the recession times. On this figure, the last time we were that 3.2 was 2009, you know, when there was a global financial crisis. So it's a horror number.
It really is. And we can see that from the financials, particularly the banks, because they got really, really clobbered. Most viewed shares today, before we get to that, Steinhoff up 2.3% to 135. Sibanye up around about 3%, your favourite. EOH still below 20, up nearly 5%. Yeah. And Sasol, with the weak rand, I suppose, up 1.6%. But let's go straight down. Let me refresh my screen here. Incidentally, while I'm doing that, if you want a good analysis of the GDP, go to strictlybusinesspodcast.com or indeed sharenet.co.za. There's an interview with Annabel Bishop, the chief economist and investor.
She's wonderful. I get her nuts. Yeah.
Already brilliant. Up there. And she is so measured in the way that she approaches it. And also after that as well, Nazmira Muller from Investec Asset Management is weighing in with an interview. And also Ian Cruickshanks. You like Ian Cruickshanks. He comes in. I wouldn't say he's furious, but he's certainly despondent, Greg. So listen to all those three interviews, three different views. It's all really good stuff.
Three very wise heads. People have been in the market a long time. Yeah. Just quickly looking, I don't know if you've followed Zero Hedge on Twitter.
I do, yes.
He's got a picture here of the captain of the Starship Enterprise with his hand in his head, and the headline is South Africa's ANC calls for quantity easing to address the debt, which I think obviously they've made a spelling mistake, but he's found a way to make it quite a handy tweet out of that.
Yeah. Greg, I just don't see the end. Anyway, I've talked enough about GDP with those other three people that I've just mentioned. So, sure. But it is difficult to know how we're going to dig ourselves out of this in the short and medium term. Long term, maybe Mr. Ramaphosa, President Ramaphosa, will come up with something drastic. But we've got to do something different. Richemont, Greg, 5.5% higher. What on earth is that all about? Is it a currency factor?
Yes, I mean, I noticed that sort of rallying today on no real news, and then around about 11, sort of. The story almost backed itself up with the currency weakening, perhaps people thinking a move into these type of rand hedge stocks up 5.5%. I mean, and that's a massive counter, a market cap of 588 billion. So that's a huge move there. But perhaps just down to the weakening around the rand, the outlook for the rand not looking like it can improve in the shorter term.
No, not at all. Goldfields, we know the story there. Sappy, after a pretty terrible post-results performance, 5% higher. Again, is it currency or was it just overdone?
A little bit of both, but certainly more on the currency side.
Quilter, our worst name on the JSE, of course, 4.7% higher. And AB InBev, you know what that could be? You remember I said I stopped drinking last Sunday? It's been now 10 days. I started drinking non-alcoholic beer, and I think I drink one that's in their stable. So that could explain the 4.2% move on AB InBev. Confidence has returned to that share.
Analysts looking through your window with binoculars and saying, right, it's time for an uptick.
There he goes. He's cracking another 0%. Off he goes. This is where it gets really nasty, and this is all GDP-related. Absa and Standard Bank, both 4.2% down. They've had a great run. I mean, it's coming off a high base, but still quite a chunky move.
Really, really walloped, you know, and I suppose people joining dots and going, okay, right, terrible GDP number. The rand's going to be weaker for longer. Let's knock these banks. And then people start saying things like downgrades could come and all of that kind of thing. But it's interesting how balanced our market really is. Bank, we'll go through the indices later, but down 3.8 on the banks, but up just over 2% on the resources. So the resources are coming to the rescue. But if it wasn't for those, it would have been a terrible day on the markets.
Yes, indeed. And talking about 3.8, Dis-Chem down 3.8%. I've got a feeling that this one has seen its best days in the short term anyway. It looks as though, I'm just looking at the graph, it looks as though it's almost already in a bear market, this thing.
Yes, I think we were chatting about a month ago and saying, I was saying that around about 25 Rand seems to be the support level. Broken through that. Was a lot lower mid-morning. It was down 24.51. But you know, just drifting lower, really. And I suppose consumers under pressure, that is a bit of discretionary spend. And I see the volume here, about 30 million rands worth of shares trading. So you have to take note of that.
Mm. Just come out, Greg, a trading statement from Alexander Forbes came out at 17.25. Obviously, we can't gauge the reaction because the market's closed, but usually when they do it after the market closes, it can't be that good. I'm just going to have a quick look and see what they're saying here. Unless you beat me to it, of course. Here we go. Results for the year reflect the goodwill write-offs of amounting to 307 million. Just give us a reflect the capitalizers. Just tell me what it is, for goodness sake.
Furthermore, the following factors influence the attributable earnings: a profit of 8 million from a loss of 24 arising from the accounting for policyholder investments.
Total operations. Headline earnings per share down anything between 8.7 and 2.9%. Down percentage-wise.
You'd have to know what the forecast was to see how bad that is. It's not one that we follow that closely. The share today finishing down 2.3%, but that would be probably on the back of this GDP story.
Yes.
5.42, but it is one that's been out of favor for quite some time with the markets.
Last two on the down column, the bottom five, ShopRite down 3.8% and First Rand also 3.8% weaker. Greg, give us the indexes, please, before we close.
Sure. This is quite interesting. The banks down 3.8%, financials down 2.1%, industrials down 1.8%, retailers down 2%, gold index up 3.6%, platinum's up 0.66%, resources up 2%. And so the volume today, look at that, 26.4.
Nice.
So that GDP figure, for better or for worse, did get a few brokers clicking their mouses a bit more often.
Exactly. Let's have a look at the spot markets now, starting with the currencies. And the Rand was around about 14.40 this time yesterday, and that was the level from where it came. When it went from 14.40 to 14.89 on the David Mabuza story and the strength in the US dollar, it went from 1440, so it's come all the way back to 1440, and this seems to be a line in the sand now, technically, because the Rand is currently 1470 against the US dollar. It was 1476 at one point. British pound against the Rand, 1863. Euro Rand, 1651. Euro dollar, 112.38. The dollar coming back a little bit after the 112.75 we saw this morning. If we go to the commodities, the all-important commodities, even though the mining sector of the South African economy is shrinking before our very eyes. 13.21, the gold price down 4, platinum down 3 to 8.20, palladium up 26 to 13.41. Goodness me, it's a volatile little biscuit, that one. And the Brent crude oil price, $62.69, which is 75 cents or 1.2% higher, Greg. How are we looking live on the Dow Jones and S&P? Because I think they've had a storming start to the session.
Yeah, the Dow up 425 points, so that's very, very strong. Mm. Obviously, the one which you're watching with a bit of trepidation last night was on NASDAQ. That steamed back up 144 points. The FTSE in the UK up 32 points. I think we're still trading that side. So the developed markets looking quite strong. There's just so much noise around these trade tariffs with China and with Mexico, that you can just go down a rabbit hole and follow too many people on Twitter and get just conflicting information. The latest is a Fed chairman saying he doesn't think that Mr. Trump will go ahead with these tariffs against Mexico, and maybe that's why the markets got stronger, but who knows what tomorrow will bring.
Well, Mr. Trump actually said that, because he's in London at the moment and met Theresa May, the outgoing UK Prime Minister, he said that they most likely will happen. So I don't know. There's obviously lots of conflicting reports here. And he's also been weighing in on Brexit. He says Brexit should happen and the US-UK can do a phenomenal trade deal. Big, phenomenal, tremendous.
He's going to check his ratings tonight to make sure that they're up on that speech.
Greg, thank you very much for your analysis, as always. That's Greg the Digger Davies, who's the chief trader at Kratos Capital in Johannesburg. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with ShareNet.co.za.